begin with Russia and Ukraine. President Obama met with German Chancellor Angela Merkel at the White House as there were renewed reports of escalated fighting in eastern Ukraine. And while the allies tried to present a united front, it's clear they're at odds when it comes to the best way to confront Vladimir Putin's aggression in eastern Ukraine. Here's President Obama, who wants to arm the Ukrainian military to better fight the Russian-backed rebels.
In the face of this aggression and these bad decisions, we can't simply try to talk them out of it. We have to show them that the world is unified in imposing a cost for this aggression. And that's what we're going to continue to do.
But German Chancellor Merkel says she's sticking to talk and diplomacy for now.
We continue to pursue a diplomatic solution, although we have suffered a lot of setbacks. These days, we will see whether all sides are ready and willing to come to a negotiated settlement. I've always said I don't see a military solution to this conflict, but we have to put all our efforts in bringing about a diplomatic solution.
Tomorrow, Angela Merkel will meet with the leaders of Russia, Ukraine, and France in Minsk in Belarus to pursue that diplomatic solution. Is this division among the allies playing into the hands of Moscow? With The View from Moscow, joining us is Dmitry Babich, political analyst for Radio Sputnik. Welcome back, Dmitry.
Yes, nice to hear from you.
So I gather it was pretty entertaining watching that news conference of President Obama and Angela Merkel yesterday pretend that they didn't completely disagree.
Well, I think that the situation is indeed dramatic, and I keep coming back to the origins of this crisis. Somehow in the Western media, usually they trace it back to the takeover of Crimea. But I think our listeners are people with good memories. So they remember that everything started 5 months earlier when the Maidan protest action started in Kiev. So I keep thinking, was it worth it? You know, just Ukraine's association agreement with the European Union, was it worth it? All of these risks that we are now taking, all of the money that has already been lost.
All right. But this is the plan, though, right? To divide Obama and Merkel and Germany and the United States. And Putin must be dancing there in the Kremlin, right?
Absolutely not. What Russia wants is just a freeze of the fighting. Geopolitical issues can be resolved later. But right now we get most of the refugees. We have 440,000 officially registered refugees from southeastern Ukraine. The actual number is about twice as high. The economic losses, primarily for Ukraine, only secondarily for Russia, are huge. So the only good thing that can be done right now, given the positions of the sides, is just to stop the fighting, to freeze it where it is, and to start talking.
So what's the problem? Why can't Vladimir Putin get the Russian-backed rebels to stop fighting?
Well, the problem is that these are not Russian-backed rebels attacking Kiev. These are the forces sent by Kiev attacking and bombing Donetsk and Lugansk. Look where the destructions are taking place. They're taking place in the region where people traditionally voted for pro-Russian parties, which are no longer existing in Ukraine under the new regime. The problem is that Kiev doesn't send serious people to the negotiations with the rebels. Look who is coming to Minsk. This is the former president, Leonid Kuchma. Read what the Western press, including the American press, has been writing about him during the first Maidan in 2004, that he was not serious, that he was Russia's stooge, that he was a traitor. So sending this kind of a very unserious person to Minsk, Mr. Poroshenko is showing that he doesn't treat these negotiations seriously. He can at any moment say, I didn't sign it. It was just Mr. Kuchma who signed it. So this document has no legal force.
Does Russia want to expand its borders into eastern Ukraine?
Certainly not. Russia could easily do it, but this is not the intention of the authorities here, because Russia is not about territorial expansion. Crimea was an exception because the population there is indeed predominantly Russian. And if it had not been taken back to Russia, it could become NATO base on the Black Sea. And it would be a very dangerous situation because Sebastopol is full of retired Russian Navy officers or Soviet Navy officers. So it's just, for me, it's inconceivable that Sebastopol would become a NATO base.
Well, that argument could be used to go after the Baltics, that you've got NATO bases on the Baltic Sea. So why wouldn't Russia want to do the same thing in Estonia and Latvia?
Well, because Estonia and Latvia became independent states and became NATO members in 2004. Russia, of course, suggested that they should stay neutral, but if the United States wanted them to become NATO members, okay, Russia acquiesced. But what happened in Ukraine, it was not a referendum, it was not a normal election, it was basically a coup d'etat, which brought to power an extremely anti-Russian, very aggressive political force. The problem with modern West that traditionally we have viewed the West as a force for compromise. Modern West doesn't suggest compromises. It doesn't seek compromises. It wants its guys to win 100%. This is a very dangerous new development for the West.
Do you think that Russia would rather make a deal with Angela Merkel than President Obama?
Russia would make a deal with anyone. It could be even John McCain, if only the decision is taken to freeze the fighting in the Donetsk region, if both sides stop shooting, stop destroying people. You know, actually, if you look at the Minsk agreement, the foundations for it were made by Putin. He suggested stopping the fighting. Now, back in January, Putin suggested to freeze the fighting and to pull on both sides all the heavy arms to a 20-kilometer distance from the front line. That suggestion was not accepted by Poroshenko. So the fighting continues. People continue to die. And this is what makes people here extremely sad. And Frau Merkel, you can't call her pro-Russian. She was the motor behind these sanctions against Russia that the European Union has taken. So calling her a Russian ally is just insane. It's like calling Maidan protests peaceful with all their Molotov cocktails.
Let's talk about some things that we've been told over the last couple of weeks. Vladimir Putin began this conflict. He wants to continue it. And it's very important for him internally. He's telling the Russian people, look what happens to you if you prefer Europe over Russia.
How can Russians prefer Europe over Russia? You know, just imagine people in the United States saying, having to choose, do you prefer United States over Europe? Of course, people in the United States would say, yes, we prefer the United States. So it's just very strange to say that Putin is trying to, talk Russians from doing something that they have never been offered to do. Russia would like to become a part of the West. Russia wanted to become a member of the EU and of other Western structures. We were just never suggested a membership.
What will happen if the U.S. arms forces in Ukraine?
That's going to be a very dangerous situation because it would mean creating another Afghanistan in the center of Europe. Remember that arming the Afghan rebels was one of the factors that led to 9/11 in the United States. When we just tried to recall all of the instances when the United States armed certain armies or certain armed groups abroad, it always led to some very dangerous developments. In Ukraine, it's going to lead to the most dangerous developments probably since 1945.
Do you believe that the rebel forces in eastern Ukraine are directly supported by Russian authorities?
I think that Russia supplies food and money and everything the people there need to live because the Ukrainian government... No, I don't think the arms are supplied by the government. I'll explain you why Russia is supplying food and all the electricity and gas. Because the Ukrainian government stopped all the banking activity on these territories. People don't get pensions. People don't get salaries. There is a transportation and economic blockade. So for these 4 million people not to die, they become entirely dependent on Russia.
What will happen if there's no agreement in Minsk?
The fighting will continue. The people in Donetsk and Lugansk will not surrender. I am afraid that Mr. McCain and others will have their way in supplying weapons to the new regime in Ukraine. And we shall be moving into a very, very dangerous new era.
Dmitry Babich, political analyst for Radio Sputnik in Moscow. Thanks so much.
Thank you.